From JMI Wealth, it's Tuesday morning. Andrew Kelleher, very good morning to you.
Yep, morning, Mike.
Now, we have the Financial Services Index. Is this new numbers, new data?
New numbers. A bit quiet overnight, actually. Memorial Day in the US, and it's a bank holiday in the UK as well, so not much going on there. Just thought I'd pop that in. We spoke yesterday about wanting more sort of timely information, so not historical numbers that don't really tell us much about the current situation. Well, Mike, seek and ye shall find. Seek and ye shall find. There you go, as if on cue. We have a new data series, Financial Services Index. We don't have any baseline or history on this, obviously, because it's new, but it could be the sort of information that give us a read on how people are feeling or thinking, and particularly at the moment as we're coming out of the global COVID crisis, the GCC, Mike. That's my new acronym. So it's published by the Financial Services Council. That's the member organisation which represents life insurance companies, the investment market here in New Zealand. Looks at five key financial resilience indicators: confidence, literacy, preparedness, financial security and financial well-being. They surveyed 2,000 people. They did them first of all in sort of the middle of March, so it was right at the peak of the sort of market, I suppose, the market issues, and then again at the end of April and early May. So what did they find? Kiwis are actually pretty confident at making financial decisions. Over 80% are at least reasonably confident in making financial decisions, although between March and the end of April, 45% said the pandemic had impacted their confidence in making those decisions. Job security, there was a big lift in people saying the pandemic had affected the way they viewed their job security, almost 50% of people. And that's the real battle, I think, for this economy going forward, Mike, is confidence. And I think we repeat this reasonably regularly, confidence. And one in five people under 52, so that's the Gen X's and Gen Y's, worry about money every single day. So the key, Mike, here is I think this could be useful once we get a baseline and once we see, you know, how that baseline moves around.
All right, so talk to me about the Cold War, because I mentioned that a moment ago. It's between China and Australia, China and America, Australia and, geez, it's a mess.
It is. We touched on this briefly yesterday, as if worrying about a global pandemic wasn't enough for millennials and Gen Ys. Well, actually, I was pretty worried about that as well. So we had boomers into that group as well. So here you go. On cue again, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi, he drops the phrase very deliberately into a press conference at the National People's Congress. And there haven't been a huge number of headlines from the Congress. And it might just be my observation, but just this does seem to be the sort of the practice that they are taking out of the Communist Party. The more pointed comments seem to not come from President Xi. They seem to come from colleagues of that. But the foreign minister said the US should stop pushing the two countries to the brink of a new Cold War. This isn't just headline voyeurism, Mike. This is coming from a very senior people within the party. And from an economic standpoint, I think we, that's New Zealand, we need to pay very close attention to the playbook being scripted across the Tasman. To see the way this is rising, the rhetoric is rising and the tension is rising and dragging Australia into it as well. As I said yesterday, the flashpoints are coming thick and fast, and I think it's really optimistic to think we can dodge all the ripples of this rise in tension between the US and China. In my opinion, this rhetoric rises as we approach the US election, and this could be, I think this should be, a key point going into our election is how we're going to deal with these trade relationships in the next couple of years.
And Daniel Andrews in a world of trouble in Victoria. I've got more on that later. 2.6, and how low does it go?
Yeah, HSBC. This is like mortgage alert. It's like mortgage telethon, isn't it? The HSBC ups the ante 2 years at 2.6. Quite a lot of conditions there. Anecdotally, Mike, I just want to throw this in there. I was told yesterday of a email received from a first home buyer. This person was buying a house off the plan, so it was a new build. And they were told they received an email from the bank yesterday saying that if it wasn't completed within a month, the deposit would go from 10% to 30%.
Ooh.
So not sure of all the details, but rates going down, it's great that rates are going down, but if conditions are tightening up, particularly for new lenders, then it's not getting to the people that need it.
We will keep an eye on that. What are the numbers?
So the Dow Jones unchanged overnight, but so the previous closes were 24,465 on the Dow, 2955 on the S&P 500, and 9324 on the NASDAQ. The FTSE also, 5993, no change. The Nikkei, 20,741, up 353, 1.7%. Shanghai Composite, 2817, moved 4 points yesterday. The ASX 200, 5615, 11-week high on the Aussie market yesterday, up 118 points, 2.16%. The NZX 50, 10,775, up 113. So we had just over a 1% gain yesterday. On the currencies, one New Zealand dollar on the wholesale markets, 0.6103 US, 0.9318 Aussie, 0.5600 Euro, 0.5004 pounds, 65.73 yen. Gold, $1,728.16. Brent crude, $35.53.
See you tomorrow. Appreciate it, Andrew Kelleher, and all that expertise at jmiwealth.co.nz.